And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Friday workday fit check. Got the blue. You'd look good in blue. Got our name tag. Team member since 2017. Take that. White undershirt from, Walmart. This is from Land's End. Logo attached. Don't look at that. Have to tuck it in. That's unfortunate for the figure. Shoes. Peep the shoe. Peep the shoe. Peep the shoe. Peep the shoe. Ready for work. Ooh. Oh, terrible for the figure. Terrible.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Friday, May 13th. Shout out to Jason. This is The Drop. We're here in the Classic Factory, as always. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, we got Tass Mellis.
How we doing, everybody?
Hey, Tass. We got our Top Shot Hot Boy. Ripping them loops, Trey Kirby.
Ayo.
Ayo.
The International Man of Mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
Finally, last but not least, over yonder, pushing them buttons, Super Producer JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Thanks for joining us live right now. You're a part of the stream team, and we appreciate you. Like the video, subscribe, comment away, share the show with all your friends and family. In that order. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Always appreciate hearing from you guys. Send in your NBA questions or non-NBA questions. We'll be hitting the beach at some point next week. And if you're a Survivor fan, highly recommend you check out yesterday's No Buffs episode. Tass, filling in for TK, had a lot of questions that we were tackling, such as, does the do or die twist need to die? Can Marianne, the Canadian, win this whole thing over the other Canadian, Omer? And the most important question from our guy, Gourmet Spud Lili, does Jonathan, that's the big guy there on the far left, if you're watching on YouTube, does he shave his chest out on the island?
Well, are you allowed to take razor blades and stuff like
that? Well, this was a big conversation, Lee, yeah, about what you're allowed to shave and what you're not allowed to shave.
I mean, I can see why he would like to shave it. He's obviously got quite an impressive build there.
Yes.
So he wants to show it off, no doubt. But I just thought that that would have been contraband under the...
Well, we're not sure, but did we do 10 minutes on it? Absolutely.
At least.
What did you guys end up saying? That he waxed his chest before he got out there?
Yeah, we thought he waxed it. He's only been out there at this point, not even... In 3 weeks. Yeah,
I don't think so. I think it would have came back after.
So you think he's actively?
I think the producers
shaving.
Are saying if you want to shave it, go ahead.
Yeah,
it looks a lot better.
I mean, I had my chest waxed on our show.
How quickly did it come back?
By 3 weeks, yeah, you would have not fully, but more than it grows back pretty quick. Yeah.
Well, anyway, we'll check out that No Buffs. We do talk about the Survivor episode, and then
hopefully it comes up in the reunion episode.
Yeah, Jeffrey. Jeff Probst is going to ask him to take his shirt off, I'm sure.
Think Jeff will pop his own shirt off?
Hey, Mr. Jeff.
I appreciate you doing this as well.
Mr. Jeff, thank you for shaving my chest every day out here on the island. On today's drop, we've got new postseason trophies to show you. NBA just dropping this on us. Here's some new trophies for everybody. So we'll take a look at those, get the thoughts from everybody here. We're going to debate what the Sixers should do now that they're eliminated. Mainly what they should do with James Harden, who had a stinker in Game 6 there. We'll get to. We got 5-star Friday reviews that got pushed back a week because we didn't have a drop last week. We got Tweet of the Night from Tassie. We got rapid fire questions. One about your most regretful fart. Okay. That's a question that's going to be asked later.
And we still have got about about an hour until we get to that question. If you don't have an answer yet, feel free to let one fly.
All right.
Yeah, the last fart cuts the deepest, for sure.
But first, before all of that, I've been waiting to say this for so long. Hit the Zaza, JD!
We're going to Game 7, baby! Game 7! Game 7!
Man,
let's go.
I always forget how great that clip is. So yeah, let's start with Luka and the Mavericks, Lee, cruising past the Suns. 113-86. Win Game 6, force Game 7. It's on Sunday.
Yeah.
TBD on the time. I think the NBA wants to wait and see what happens with Celtics-Bucks. Mm. They're locked in if they have a Game 7 for 3:30. I guess that goes to Suns Mavericks if there is no Game 7 in that Eastern Conference series, and we're not sure where it goes if there is a Game 7. But anyway, let's talk about this game. Wow, pretty impressive here from the Mavs.
Yeah, look, if you go from Game 5 to Game 6, there's only a 3-point differential in their points because they lost by 30 and then win by 27 here, the Mavericks. So they've been close games in theory. But they haven't been close at all.
Interesting.
Look, I'm trying to find some sort of angle here, because honestly, this was a very disappointing performance here from the Phoenix Suns. The Mavericks played better, but it wasn't. I didn't feel like the Mavericks just went out there and torched them from the start, and Phoenix had no chance. But we saw the Mavericks hitting three-pointers again. I mean, Dorian Finney-Smith, who for some reason couldn't shoot the ball in Phoenix, he came out, hit a couple. Reggie Bullock, I'm talking about there. Dinwiddie hit 5 off the bench. Luka finishes with 33 points, but took 26 shots, only made 11, only hit 2 of 8. So, it's not a Luka like, man, this guy's going for 45 points or anything like that. But they're getting contributions from those other guys. Kleber hit a couple of threes. Yep. And then for the Phoenix Suns, their two main stars here, Chris Paul and Devin Booker, combined for 13 turnovers. I mean, that's pretty bad. Devin Booker, I thought, came out pretty aggressive. We saw in Game 5 there, if he had Luka, he was going to go at him. That's the sort of vulnerability of the Dallas defense there. If you can attack Luka, but Mavs are kind of ready for that. And Devin Booker made 3 of his 6 field goals in the first half, in the first quarter, and then he only made 3 for the rest of the game. And he looked at times just rattled, which is surprising for me. So when you go into a Game 7, there's two things that you really look for. Home court advantage, the Suns have that. But better than that is to have the best player. And the Mavs have that in Luka Doncic. Yeah. So it's very, very even here. And last season, we saw the Mavericks in the first round couldn't win a game at home, won them all on the road except for Game 7. This series, can't win a game on the road. Every home team's win. So will it reverse? And so Luka can go and get that win. Because honestly, if you're the Mavericks right now, you have to feel, listen, we hit our threes. We're going to win this game. They couldn't do that in Phoenix, right, in other games here. And the Suns, I was expecting last night a much more locked-in performance, knowing again that if they wrap that series up last night, they get a couple of days off at least before they face the winner of the Grizzlies and the Warriors, which could be over a Saturday night. Instead, now they're the ones under pressure here, Phoenix.
Right.
You're going home. You're the number one seed. You won 64 games. You were up 2-0 in this series. You can't blow this. Now, they're the favorite, I think, simply because they are at home and all those other things I said. But the Mavericks have got to feel, the game is theirs.
Yeah.
We've got to go and hit our threes, force a few extra turnovers again on the Suns. Chris Paul, again, a bit of a weird energy game from him there last night. I mean, we've seen so many times him just step it up and take his team. But in this game, it was over by halftime, more or less anyway here.
Well,
certainly was over by 3 points.
It was eerily reminiscent of the Warriors going into Memphis in Game 5 and getting spanked. I thought this was the same idea. Like, the Suns, I mean, the Mavericks went on a huge run in the second quarter. And then they really put the game out of reach in the third quarter and sort of embarrassed them here. And yeah, as Lee all said, we set up a Game 7 here. But what did you see from this one? Like, were you shocked with Phoenix's energy? And, you know, they take the punch. Like, it's always the most difficult thing to do, to put away a good team, to end their season.
Yeah.
And they're always going to put up, usually, unless you're like the Sixers, you're going to put up a fight. And then it's like, oh, can you weather the storm, punch back, and then here you go. And the Suns could not, or were not up for it in this Game 6.
But when you're a number one seed with a bullet all season long, you are the best team. You haven't played crunch time on the road in this series at all. You got beat bad in Games 3, 4, and 6. It's surprising to me that we haven't seen the best team in basketball not be able to take a team to the wire on the road in this series. That was surprising to me. They could easily pull out Game 7, but not have any crunch time minutes. Phoenix crushed at home. The Mavs have crushed on the road. We haven't seen crunch time minutes in this series. I hope we do in Game 7. And Phoenix at home, I imagine, pulls it out. But as Lee said, yeah, Luka, a huge factor. He had 46 last year in Game 7 in a loss to the Clippers. He had 38 the year before that when they were eliminated by the Clippers. So he'll be ready in this game. There's no doubt about that. I think a good sign for the Suns is that the Mavs kind of switched up their defense on Booker. They're blitzing him with two guys at all times, and he handled it well to start, but then he was off. He was 6 of 17 in the end. I think that bodes well for Game 7. He probably learns to handle that a little bit better. The Chris Paul thing is worrying. All praise in the world after Game 2 when he kicked ass. That was the last time he took double-digit shots in this series, Games 3, 4, 5, and 6. Kind of chilling. So that is kind of odd. I think Booker's rhythm will be better. They'll be better at home. But you're playing Luka, for sure. So, I can't explain why the will of one team, kind of broke the others when the other one should be the best team in basketball in a series.
It's weird that the home court advantage has been this powerful. Like, it's unbelievable that they've played zero clutch minutes so far, especially considering, like, we saw a lot of clutch minutes from both of these teams in the regular season. But two things have tilted Dallas's way for this entire series. First and foremost, to me, is that the Suns do not take enough three-pointers. They only got 18 up last night. A lot of that is Dallas running them off the line, but for the series, Phoenix has taken 26 threes per game, and Dallas has taken 39 threes per game. That can add up to a lot of extra points if you're Dallas, and that has been the case playing in Texas there. And then also, the Suns are losing the turnover battle, which is very strange to see with Chris Paul being the lead ball handler. They're almost at 17 turnovers a game. Meanwhile, the Mavericks are at 11 turnovers a game. So the Mavericks get a lot more possessions. They get a lot more three-pointers up. You get a pretty high variance there. And then in Game 7, you've got Luka. If you're able to continue to force turnovers and get threes up, you've got a really good chance. So the Suns need to figure out something here to be able to get Chris Paul going and to get Devin Booker going. 13 turnovers combined. The blitzing was definitely throwing them off. They're kind of daring anybody else to beat him. Ayton hasn't really been able to do it. Bridges seems a little bit tentative to me. So if their big stars aren't really leading, Dallas definitely has a chance in a Game 7, even on the road.
Yeah, Mavs defense was locked in last night. I mean, they were going to put up a fight. They were going to go down if they were going to lose in six, obviously win this game. But kid going to Frankie Smokes. Frank Ntilikina playing 21 minutes at like 0 points, but who cares? He's out there for defense, and he had an impact, I thought.
Yeah.
He has in this series.
He's played a few minutes in other games, too.
Yeah.
In Dallas, he's been quite good. He's got those long arms, and I think it's just like, hey, we're not expecting him. Phoenix weren't saying, hey, watch out for Frankie Ntilikina to come out there. But he's gone out there and played hard. Now, he got more minutes last night, largely because it was a blowout. But he did go to him earlier on and say, just go out there and give it your best. So I wonder if Jason Kidd throws something like that just on Devin Booker or on a Chris Paul and just say, just see if you can disrupt their flow. You've got six fouls. They don't really need him on the offensive end. Just go out there and give it everything you can. So, I mean, this series, it's weird because the Suns were the best road team. I mean, that figures. They had the best record in the league.
32-9.
Yeah, exactly. They only lost 9 games for the season. They've lost 4 on the road already if you go back to the Pelican series there. And they have looked really not that good on the road. So they go home again. They should be fine. But, man, I'm looking at, like, Luka. Tim Cato had a really good write-up in The Athletic this morning. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks to sign up. Luka, this is his second game 7 of the NBA playoffs, but he's played in massive games in Europe already. Luka, he's not going to be fazed by this. And again, last year in Los Angeles, he had a great game. He ran out of a bit of gas at the wall at the end of that game, but he didn't really get any help from anybody else either. So you can lock in that Luka's going to have a big game.
Yes.
But is Reggie Bullock going to take... Is he going to take threes, for one? Is he going to make them? What Spencer Dinwiddie, Maxi Kleber, Finney Smith? Those guys need to, I think, combine for 10 threes. If they do that, I think the Mavs can steal this.
Yeah, he needs... Look, you can literally put it in pen. Luka's going to have, in a Game 7, probably, I don't know, 35? 30 to 35 is... Mm-hmm. I feel pretty confident. He's going to, take care of the glass. He helps out down there because they're smaller. He'll set guys up. And it's just whether they can hit these threes. I 100% agree with you. They can win this Game 7 on the road. Suns should be the favorite. They looked amazing all year. You want to get Chris Paul back, too. You don't even need the Chris Paul from Game 2. You just need, a steadying Chris Paul at this point. And then Booker, I think he'll bounce back as well. I love that they sort of hate each other, these teams, a little bit. They're there's sort of a mutual hate, I think, especially going between Booker and Luka. I love it. It's just, can Dinwiddie, like he did in Game 6, hit a couple? Kleba, he's been pretty good at hitting a couple. And then, a Bullock or a Finney Smith. That Trey's right. The math, if tilt's in the Mavs' favor just because they take more, and if they can just knock down a decent number here in a Game 7, they could steal this.
That's the thing.
Sure.
But that's Jason Kidd's got these guys just go out and chuck away, because if they miss, okay, we miss. But you got to let them fly. You can't be like Bullock was in Game
5. Yeah, it was game 5, yeah. Where he just didn't get them up. You know, you just got to let them fly.
Yeah. Anything else to add to this one? I mean, it's like, I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth, but would everybody be taking Phoenix in a game 7 here on Sunday? You're still going with that?
Yes.
From what you saw, I know
Luka has been the best player, but in Phoenix, they've mopped each time. Yeah. So it would be surprising if these are bad losses by the Mavs. They haven't been able to perform on the road, but yeah, Luka will come out again. Those numbers are clear that he likes to play in big games. 46 last year in Game 7, 38 the year before that in their elimination game. He'll be ready. I do think Devin Booker learning what the Mavs could do to him will help. He turned it over 8 times. Trey went through the numbers there. Odd to see that backcourt, who's supposed to be leading. The guy got MVP votes in Devin Booker more than Luka Doncic, that he should be taking care of business out there.
We'll see. I can't wait. Game 7. At least we got one here in the postseason.
Devin Booker just hates being double teamed, eh?
Yeah. Damn it. Just practice it. Yeah. Postseason. Yeah. In the preseason. Okay, let's get to this one. I know everybody's chomping at the bit to talk about the Heat. Beat the 76ers 99-90
the Heat
in Game 6 to advance to the East Finals. So do we want to start with Miami?
Yeah,
give them their flowers. Hell yeah.
They won't take long.
Conference finals. Okay, well, get at it. What do you think?
Well, first, just watching this game, oh my God, what a whimper that the Sixers went out with. Should we be surprised? I think even Jimmy Butler was surprised somewhat when he grabbed that offensive rebound and hit that three in the corner. He went back and mouthed, probably yelled, but you could see him saying, wow. Is this what's happening? Is this what's happening here as the Philadelphia 76ers can't pass to one another? The third quarter was just absolutely abysmal, and as they tried to pass to one another and they were turning it over, Miami running it down the other end and you know, looked like a grade school team being destroyed by a bigger grade school team where they just didn't want to fight. A little shocking. Okay, let's start with the Heat.
Yeah.
the Heat did that to them, obviously. Jimmy Butler and that incredible defense broke them. Jimmy Butler was so good. That's what he does, dropping 32. I think you look at Max Strus, who had 20, 11, and 5. Max Strus, 20 points, 11 rebounds, and 5 assists. This guy became a starter midway through this season and has taken on the persona of that team. We got it. And that's it. I mean, the Sixers just looked like the team we expected them to after, you know, I pointed to that March 10th loss where they got destroyed by the Nets and how they bounced back after that, and they didn't. And I think this is really similar to last year and what happened with Ben Simmons and the whole Philadelphia 76ers organization, because they went up to the podium and Joel Embiid started pointing fingers. And I know maybe right at this instance, we're not saying, oh, they threw X player under the bus, but Joel Embiid just threw everybody under the bus to me by saying James Harden, he ain't the Houston Rockets James Harden. He said that about his teammate post game. Is he right? Of course he's right. There's no doubt, but he started just pointing at everybody else on the other side of the roster. You see PJ Tucker over there? That guy fights for his team. He doesn't put points on the board, but he fights for his team, and we haven't had those type of guys here in Philadelphia. And you see Jimmy Butler over there, man, I wish he was still my teammate. They screwed up. There's no doubt that the Philadelphia 76ers front office screwed up. Jimmy Butler obviously was making a point of that. He went to the locker room and yelled, Tobias Harris over me? That's who you picked?
Jimmy was loving this. He was loving it.
Of course, this is Jimmy's stage. This is what Jimmy does, and he rubbed it in. I think they picked Ben Simmons over Tobias Harris. I mean, sorry, over Jimmy Butler, really is what happened in 2019. It was sad to see what happened. It was expected. The James Harden second half was abysmal, obviously.
For the ages.
Yeah, 40-plus minutes. No free throws. That doesn't happen in NBA basketball. Spears tweeted it out that hasn't happened in NBA history, where a guy plays 40-plus minutes and is unable to get to the line. So I just think that obviously what we expected to happen on the floor kind of happened, but post-game, I don't think it needed to be like that. I think Joel Embiid wasn't very much a leader in the post-game press conference. There's no need to keep pointing fingers and saying this guy sucks and this guy sucks. I mean, he did a good job of being the general manager of the team and basically saying, yes, James Harden isn't Houston Rockets James Harden. Don't give him an extension. Don't pay him the max money because that's just going to screw up our team. I mean, he basically said, this guy sucks. Keep him, sign him. And here we are. Good night, Irene.
A lot to follow.
Yes, because Miami, we said in games 3 and 4 in Philadelphia, they couldn't shoot the three. They couldn't shoot the three.
I know. Didn't they hit 7 again?
They hit 7 again.
That's
yeah.
crazy.
Philadelphia had more assists than them. Rebound, things like that were about the same. I could not believe what I was watching in that third quarter and then into the final quarter. Because Doc Rivers, after the three-quarter time interview with Jorge Sedano there, we're only down 11 points. And then like 30 seconds later, they're down like 17 and it was all over. Yeah. And it was just like to go out like that on your home floor is just embarrassing. And there's a lot of blame to go around. Embiid, I can understand his frustration. James Harden afterwards said the same thing. Oh, we're trying to build a championship. We just need a few pieces, he said as well. A few pieces. You don't often hear that.
It's usually one piece.
Yeah. But I mean, there's really no excuse here for James Harden to just put in such a terrible performance like that in the second half with his season on the line here.
He took two shots. Yeah, we have said it a million times on the show. There is nothing worse in the NBA than not shooting.
And he said,
you could go 0 for 20
yeah.
and people will be more upset. And I actually think rightfully so when you're a three-time scoring champ if you only shoot it twice. That's 100 times worse.
How many shots you say?
Two.
In how many minutes?
22.
In the second half. Yeah.
Two in 22 minutes yeah. of the second half. First off, like, shout out to Embiid. That was a warrior-like performance from Embiid. The guy was playing as hard as he possibly could. I could not believe how many players were on the floor for the entirety of this game. Anytime Embiid was taking a shot inside, he was going to be down on the ground. He had that one really nasty fall, kind of like right on, like right in between his shoulder blades. Yeah. That one was ugly looking.
Took out Danny Green early in this game.
Obviously, you know, the injuries caught up to him. He was playing to exhaustion, and he just got absolutely zero help from Harden. Like, I don't know. It's such a weird thing to say when you're the guy bringing the ball up the court every time. Ball just never got to me.
Yeah.
You're bringing it up.
Yeah.
You're bringing it up. Like, what plays is Doc Rivers going to run? He doesn't really run plays unless it's a pin-down screen for J.J. Redick 6 years ago. Maybe bring that one back. But I don't know. They got to figure out something with Harden, man. Like, he's got to go on a walkabout. He's got to go on a plant-based diet. I don't know what it is. Something needs to change for Harden to show up when it actually matters.
Yeah.
But good luck. I don't know. To me, it just seems like, honestly, the entire process of the Sixers, it feels like it's wearing on them completely. Think about how it's gone since they started the process. It started with this being bad for the league. You know, that's basically what the concern was way back in the Nerlens Noel and Michael Carter Williams days.
Right.
Then we had Embiid and Simmons missing large chunks, entire seasons with their injuries. Then the league got Sam Hinkie out of there. Then we had the Brian Colangelo burner saga.
Yep.
Then we had Elton Brand coming in. That tenure kind of really messed up things for the Sixers from a long-term perspective, from a short-term perspective. Jimmy leaving reduced the margin for them. Then we had the Fultz drama. Then we had the Simmons drama. Now we've got the Harden drama. That's like almost a decade of being under intense scrutiny, and you can tell it's had an effect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Paul has adapted his career later on to highlight his strengths and try to hide any of his weaknesses. James Harden can do that if he commits to it, but he doesn't seem like the sort of guy who's going to do that. It seems more like he's just going to say, I'm just going to keep trying to do what I've done for my entire career and see if it works. But he just the effort just wasn't there.
No.
And that's the thing. He's got a player option for $47 million, and he can potentially sign this $250. There is no way in hell the Sixers are signing him to a five-year $250. No way. You can't. I know Daryl Morey loves him, but Daryl Morey also got to look around and say, there's no way we're paying him $55 million when he's 37 or something like that, when he's performing like this now. So this cost him some money. I don't know what his next contract is going to be, but it's not going to be a massive long-term commitment because you just cannot rely on him in the regular season, and now you certainly can't rely on him in the playoffs. There's been some excuses in the past. Those Rockets teams, he was the only star. Chris Paul had the hamstring injury that one time. But now it's like, okay, his narrative in the playoffs, he doesn't show up in those huge, huge moments. He shows up sometimes in game 1 or 2, but when the series is on the line, he's out of
there. He had one solid game, really, in
one
this
solid
series.
Quarter.
I mean, yeah. I mean, game four, I guess, against Miami in this series. Otherwise, he did really nothing. Mm. He was a. I mean, the other part is like, well, he's not giving you anything defensively, very little. Mainly that's because of effort reasons. And then he was a bit of a turnover machine, and then not shooting is wild. This guy led the league in scoring three seasons. This guy was a 30-point per game scorer. You lock it in every single night. And so, like, to only shoot twice and then have this lame-ass excuse of, like, well, I'm running the offense and ball just never found its way back. Come on. That is you just saying, that's just you giving up. And his only excuse is, yeah, like Chris Paul, is the hamstring injury still an issue? And if it is, can he use this offseason and a preseason and really commit to getting in shape and fixing that and then maybe have a resurgence like Chris Paul did? But, man, who would bet on that? Nobody.
We've seen this movie before. He needs a Chris Paul beside him to run the offense, really, like what he had in Houston. He needed Maxey to be the floor general because they'd get up to a Miami Heat defense that was ready at that three-point line and didn't know what to do. And in that third quarter when they were abysmal, then they went to the bench and they had a timeout. Doc said, okay, this is getting pretty bad. We're turning it over. We're not getting back. James, you're just watching, guys. They're literally Maxey just throwing up his arms like, what are we doing? Like, to each other.
Yeah.
What are we doing here in the playoffs? And Doc ran a play to get Tobias Harris a three in the corner. But that shouldn't come after the timeout. That should come on the floor with a floor general. And so James Harden is going to be James Harden. Maybe a plant-based diet will help the gut. Maybe it'll help him be better. But to have excuses every single season, the entire organization, even Joel Embiid, to me, means it's just like...
Joel Embiid may not be a leader.
Yeah, yeah.
He might be the best player on your team, but he may not be a leader.
No, well, to be coming into the... Yeah, exactly. To be coming into the press conference and pointing fingers immediately. Why can't he say, listen, I was injured the first two games. We were actually 2-2 when I played. That's not bad, not a bad company line to take, but he's just so, yeah, number one, he's pissed, obviously, with the Jimmy Butler thing, but exasperated all those things that Trey went through. But at the same time, yeah, you just got to kind of own up and say, yeah, this sucks. And if I wasn't injured, we win this series. I mean, just change the line. But yeah, the leadership thing is real. I don't think leaders do that.
Well, maybe some of it came from his coach. Seeped into him a little bit. Doc Rivers said after the game, I came to the conclusion at the end of this game that we were not good enough to beat Miami.
What was I supposed to do? I had Gordon Giericek out there.
That one.
Pretty much.
Amazing. And then
Tybull hitting the bottom of the rim. Niang can hit a layup. I understand why Embiid's pissed.
Yes, yes. I do agree with that too.
The problem is that he's usually right.
Yeah, he's right. Yeah.
He's right in every instance.
It's very similar to like a Jimmy Butler, right? Where it's like, questionable leadership tactics, but you can tell, at least like right now, at least with Jimmy Butler, he believes in the Miami Heat. I don't know that you can say the same for Embiid in the 76ers.
Yeah, that's fair. And then Doc also said, I don't worry about my job. He's asked about, you know, oh, are you going to be here, whatever's going on. I think I do a terrific job. If you don't, then you should write it. That's my favorite part. Because I worked my butt off to get this team here. When I first got here, no one picked us to be anywhere. Again, this year, same thing. If that's how anyone feels, write it. I'm going to feel secure about it. That part where Doc is trying to tell us that, like, this was a Cinderella Sixers team and it's a miracle they're in the state. This is fucking insane. He takes no accountability for really any of this. And he's now trying to spin the narrative that, like, oh, man. Like, yeah, the Embiid injury, sure, but come on. Like, these last couple years, how many years has he been there? 2019?
2 years in Philadelphia,
This team has been always looked at with obviously have an MVP-like guy in Embiid and then some other talent around him, you know, be it Ben Simmons, be it, of course, James Harden, you know, some decent-looking role players at times, and it's like, what? We were doubting? Like, come on. They were, like, championship favorite. They can't even get to the conference finals. That's crazy from Doc in my mind. Yeah. And I don't know what that all means. Is he, like, already know he's gone?
Well, I think for job security, he is fine because he will get another job somewhere.
He signed through 24, 25, and... Yeah, he'll be coaching the Lakers soon.
Look, you know, if you look at Doc's career, he's been coaching 23 seasons. He's had about 10 or 11 50-win seasons. He's got a pretty good winning percentage, 58% in the playoffs, 51%.
He's one of the greatest coaches of all time, the NBA told us.
I know. So, he's a good regular season coach. But he certainly has some trouble, I think, in the playoffs. His championship team, of course, with the 2008 Boston Celtics, a very good team. But I mean, it's frustrating after the game where he sort of shrugs his shoulders and says, like, what a great run considering where we were, but you had some stars.
It's not a great run. How can he possibly, like, well, you gotta, look us, you in know, the eye just, and say that seriously?
Well, because that's what he said. It was the same thing when he was asked about in the Raptors series about blowing the 3-1s, and he basically just said, listen, I did well to get to 3-1 in the first place.
He's not a dumb guy. Last year, the whole Ben Simmons scenario happened. Everybody, understood what happened. They shouldn't have said what they said. But now he's coming out and saying whatever the hell he wants. I mean, the well is poisoned. He doesn't want to be there. It's like the entire organization's like, again.
Are you saying the vibes are ejaculate right now? Really? I think so. Yeah, they're bad.
They are. So many skeeters.
What about, let's talk a little bit more about Harden. You know, Lee addressed it. What do you do with James Harden here? Because he is likely, I guess, to pick up his $47.4 million player option for next season. He's also eligible for a 4-year extension worth $223 million. But I mean, what does Daryl Morey and Philly do? And then if you have other key questions too, what do you think, Trey?
Well, I mean, it feels like Harden's going to be back, and I think that the Sixers would probably prefer it to be just on that player option so they can take another year and be like, all right, at least we're seeing this team for a full season before we commit to James Harden. I don't know exactly what he means when he says he's going to do whatever it takes to make sure that the team is as good as they can be going forward. Does that mean he's comfortable giving back some money here? Mm-hmm. We shall see. But the other big question, I mean, I guess they do have a couple of, massive franchise defining questions to figure out to determine the fate of the process. So no pressure. Like, is Doc coming back? I don't necessarily think so, because I thought that was a little bit of a Harden power play in his press conference when he was asked about the plays that Doc was running, and he hit him with a no comment, Next question.
Next question.
He obviously didn't want to talk about it and had his feelings of, I'm passing the ball, it never comes back to me.
Yeah.
We know that he has a relationship with Mike D'Antoni, who's kind of been rumored to be taken over here, was sitting on the bench for the Sixers not too long ago. Obviously, D'Antoni has a connection to Daryl Morey there in the front office as well, so that could easily be a substitute there. I don't know how that fixes your defense, but we shall see. So after you worry about paying James Harden and then your coach, you also have to upgrade the rest of your roster, because you're probably going to need a Danny Green replacement at this point. That was a bad injury. Mm-hmm. He could easily be out for the entirety of next season. If not, we maybe even have seen the last game that he's played. He's an older guy at this point.
Yeah.
Tobias Harris, why would he want to still be in Philadelphia? But also, who wants Tobias Harris at this point?
$37-38 million.
Exactly right. Good luck running back Korkmaz, Niang, and Thybul. They just showed they cannot play in the playoffs for this team. So outside of Embiid, you've got questions about your 6 highest paid players and the coach.
Yeah.
Other than that, smooth sailing in the summer for Philadelphia. I mean,
assuming Harden, chooses his option, $119 million go into small game James, Embiid, and Tobias Harris. $118 million. So what? You got trades. You got your taxpayer mid level to work with. You got no pick. That's gone in the Ben Simmons trade. You got a trade exception. I think it's about almost $2 million for Andre Drummond. Do something with that. I mean, it's rough.
Get you a Dort.
It's rough. I mean, that's why I think Trey is right. I think you almost have to, like, you just gotta pray that Harden's like takes this humiliating loss and does the whole Chris Paul and like the hamstring has zapped some of his explosiveness and he is really committed. But maybe he's not. Maybe he's just too old and he doesn't care enough. I don't know. It's probably that more than the other. But
he did say after the game that I can't wait to get my body right.
Okay.
It's been two years since I haven't got my body right.
Fingers crossed.
But if we need multiple parts, if we need multiple pieces, that 47 mil should be lowered a little bit. Tear it up. Don't take the player option. Sign a cheaper deal.
Oh, God.
Sign 30.
5 years, $10 million.
Yeah. I wouldn't go that far.
Up in that trading section.
Yeah. 4 for $120, let's say. Just take a little bit of long-term security for some short-term losses. That's the only real thing I can see here, because Tobias is getting paid a lot. Harden's getting paid a lot. Embiid's getting paid a lot. And everybody doesn't want to play for the team, so that's a weird situation. Even Tobias Harris, who's a quiet fellow, he came into the press conference and said, "Truth is, they played harder than us. The effort level. He called it the effort level. Well, it's up to the leaders to change the effort level, and it's going to be the same leadership. So
that's why
screwed.
Doc almost it feels like he has to be gone because you can't possibly run back and beat Harden, and then Doc is the coach here, and like Tobias. I mean, you could try and trade him. That's a big deal.
He's got
I don't,
2 years left on his deal. $78 million.
I don't know. Maybe someone convinces himself, but
that's why I think tape Doc, from the last two games because Tobias Harris was pretty solid.
He was
up until these last two games when he was looking like the bad Tobias.
He can be traded. I'll say it. I'll go out on a limb and I'll say it. There's a team out there that's got a low salary number that can, suck it in.
It would behoove them to do like a Porzingis sort of trade where you're trading one for two. And even if it's like, I mean, the Mavs got back Dinwiddie and Bertans, who are not like massive names, but they added two pieces. And like even Bertans has had moments in the playoffs. They just need more guys because they were drawn dead by the end of this series.
And Embiid was asking for it. He's yearning for it. He's looking at PJ Tucker, licking his lips on the other roster, on the other side of the floor.
Embiid, I don't think we've addressed Embiid afterwards also said, oh, well, Daryl Morey's done great. He brought in Andre Drummond and Seth Curry. They're gone now. he was praising Jimmy Butler and other guys that have been traded. But the problem here is Joel Embiid is now 28. He's obviously in his sort of prime years. And honestly, it looks like Maxey is probably the second best player on this roster right now with James Harden playing like this. And for him to opt out to knowing that he's going to get another deal, it is going to be like that 3 or 4 years for $120 million, which to me, even that is not something I would want to commit to for him. I honestly would trade him if I'm Daryl Morey. If you can trade James Harden, I'd trade him.
Wow.
Harden for Kyrie, who says no?
Oh, wow. Just broke my brain with that one.
Trade problem for problem. I'd say the Nets say no.
Well, did the Nets win the Ben Simmons, James Harden trade with Ben Simmons playing zero games?
Two lefts make a right. Two losses make a win.
All right, we got all offseason to talk about whether Doc Rivers will be coaching the Sixers, what they should move.
Westbrook for Harden and John Wall somehow. Just shuffle them around. Throw them in the air, and wherever they land, that's who you get.
Yeah, right. John Wall. Tyus Jones would be good on this team. Anyway, moving on. He's a free agent. I guess the Maxey thing's
that's
a problem.
That's a
tiny team.
Yeah.
They need a grinder.
Yeah, especially you went through all the wing guys that are not helping. They need a wing player that can preferably hit some shots and also play defense.
A Jimmy Butler type almost. Almost.
Oh, man.
Similar.
PJ Tucker has a player option. Let's say he wins the title with the Bucks. He can be a Danny Green. He can go Heat, Bucks, and then try and win it with the Sixers next year. Perfect.
Yeah,
I like that.
I like that.
He's old.
All right. Well, let's hear everybody's thoughts on the stream team. Everybody listening later. Thoughts on Harden's 0-for-2 second half there in Game 6. What Daryl Morey and Sixers should do with him. What are your thoughts on Embiid in this series? You know, toughing it out, but having a bad Game 6 too. But, you know, at least shooting. Going down with a little bit of a fight, even if he kept falling over. I loved when, who was it on the call with Hubie Brown? Was it Dave Pasch?
Yes.
Yeah. I love when he told him at one point in the second half, like, I think Embiid's hit, he said something like, Embiid's hit the ground a lot. And Hubie says something like, he's been down like 6 or 7 times. And Pasch's like, no, it's way more than that.
It's like 12 to 15.
And he was right.
He's right.
He was right at that point in the game. He had hit the floor.
That was crazy. There was a guy on the floor like every single possession. Yeah. I mean, the Heat were falling a lot in this one too. We know if you fall, you get the call. But this was just like, this was next level falling.
There's no criticism, though, that can be worse than just disappointed Hubie Brown on the call. He was just like, come on. You could just feel it in his voice. It's like, that's
sickening.
88-year-old Hubie's there and just like fuming at the Sixers' effort.
Yeah. Think of how many basketball games Hubie Brown has watched. Think about that for a second. And he's making it sound like this is one of the worst efforts I've ever seen from a team, especially in an elimination game.
Otto Porter's a free agent.
Oh, God. Keep going.
Fit it. Perfect. That's a perfect puzzle piece, baby.
Okay, on that note, let's take our first break. When we come back, we'll look at these new postseason trophies.
Yeah.
And we'll look ahead to tonight's two Game 6s, both in Milwaukee and the Bays. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect for
real. If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. That would make me so happy. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything, really. It really is. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can, if that's a 10-minute low-impact class, they got those. And when you're ready, take it up a gear, you know, a 30-minute live DJ ride. DJ John Michael, that guy plays the hits. He always gets me going. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Okay, back with the boys here. Drop podcast on a Friday in the Classic Factory. This news broke sort of during or maybe right after yesterday's show, so let's get to it now. The league announced on Thursday a set of six reimagined postseason trophies, each receiving a makeover. Centerpiece there, of course, the Larry O'Brien Trophy, which they tell us has a roundish upgrade. And it is. Look at the base. Remember, the base was square. Now it's round. The biggest addition, though, to the lineup here, we got conference final MVP trophies, which are named after Magic Johnson for the Western Conference one, Larry Bird for the East, and those trophies that we're showing you here on YouTube. They raise a sterling silver ball, similar to the conference champion trophies, which also got upgraded and got sort of like renamed. Who got renamed there? Oscar Robertson.
Cousy
the plumber. Cousy. So, Tass, what do you think? Thoughts on any of these, you know, either upgraded or new awards here for the postseason?
Seeing them all in one photo, I think the prestige level has been upgraded a little bit. Just across the board, some uniformity across the board.
Yep.
Conference championships, the trophy have gotten better. If you remember, each time an Eastern Conference champion is, you know, given a trophy, they win, they're given a trophy. Same with the Western Conference. If you remember, it's a ball.
Yeah.
It sits there on the
table.
You
see it in a photo every once in a while.
Some people say, don't touch it. We got to win the Larry O'Brien.
Right.
That definitely happens in hockey. Mm. And I bring up hockey because, okay, great, the conference champions get an MVP like it's baseball. Fine, whatever. Conference champion, who cares? But I bring up hockey because the Larry O'Brien, I think, is now like the Stanley Cup because they've changed the base to make it round. But also, the previous 75 winners, the team names will be inscribed on the top disc. And on that bottom disc, if you're watching on YouTube, the new champion will be inscribed. So it'll be 2022 Milwaukee Bucks, for instance, and that will be your one of one, because each year, you know, the 2023 champions will go on there, 2024 champions on there, so the one on one, they take it home and our names are on the trophy, just like the Stanley Cup.
Okay.
It's pretty neat. It's pretty neat.
I like that. It's a nice addition.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that the Larry O'Brien has always been a little odd. How do you hold this thing with the square base?
Really?
It's always odd.
I saw that was in the marketing material, so I was like, how hard is it to hold?
I know, but
I think it's easier. It's a square.
Yeah.
It's better
now than the...
Yeah, a little bit.
Listen, I know. They didn't really upgrade that part of it.
Yeah.
The Stanley Cup, always easier to hold. Well, you can hold it. It's big.
It's just it's pure
it's
size
larger.
It's quite, apparently quite heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
It looks like a keg.
Yeah.
Some people find it
difficult.
It does
seem to be the easiest to hold of the major trophies. It's like baseball hardest to hold.
The flags.
Oh, yeah. Baseball, you're going to break it.
Snap those flags.
Yeah.
Too pointy.
Yeah.
Anyways, it got more like Stanley Cup, but also not like the Stanley Cup because it didn't get bigger. But
because I think
like,
the Larry O'Brien, it's a great trophy. I think it actually looks cool. Now you could argue maybe it should be a little bit bigger.
The square base was always weird to me.
Okay. I didn't have that much
of an opinion
about
it. I like the round.
But I think it's a great looking trophy.
The round looks awesome.
And I mean, I gotta say, I don't love the etching of the net so prominent. It just doesn't look that cool to me, but whatever. They didn't mess with it too much. Mm. You know, I don't remember that being there, or at least again.
No, they
definitely
like enhanced
it. Yeah.
And the channels on the ball, I believe.
But I'm with you, Tess. I love the idea of like being able to add the champs to those little rings, I guess you're saying, at the bottom.
Yeah,
like,
it'll go underneath.
Yeah, that's...
And
that's
the 75 cool. are on there. They're on the top of that. Second disc.
Right,
there.
But I think in theory they'll be adding the next 25, I think I read too, right? Like the next 25 champions, this will take us to 100.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Anyway, what are your thoughts on this? And especially
and then a disc will be added underneath, I guess.
So it's trying to become the Stanley
Maybe.
Cup.
Maybe. Yeah, that thing's going to get bigger and bigger.
Yeah, I mean, every sport has Stanley Cup envy when it comes to trophy. It is the best trophy in sports. No question about it. Even the World Cup, which is a good one, but it's kind of small.
Oh, that one's too deep.
Yeah, I know. That's
like the finals MVP.
Yeah, when you see the dudes lift the Stanley Cup, that's a cool image for hockey. Yeah, that's what hockey has over every other sport. So we may as well try to just rip it off. No, we may as well. Why not? It's the best sport.
But what do you think about the addition of the conference final MVPs with this Larry and Magic thing?
Yeah, I think this is honestly more just to sort of pay homage to Magic and Larry, really. I mean, if you got that, but you don't have the actual NBA champion, it's a nice award. It's like one to put in your trophy, but you've got one more to get. You know, I suppose if, you know, Giannis is probably going to get two if he was to go on and win.
I think there's going to be a lot of like two-time winners. You're going to win your conference MVP, and then you're like, if you go on to win the title, you're going to win the finals MVP.
And I get Magic and Larry. It's great to have them on it together. But what's Michael's award going to be? Because finals MVP is Bill Russell. You're not changing that.
How many finals MVPs did Bill Russell win?
Great question.
I think it's zero, which is just odd.
Yes.
Bill Russell, legend.
Absolutely.
On and off the court.
Yeah.
But that's just a strange part.
Yeah, like, he's an eight-time champion, I guess, so that's his claimed fame. I mean, he's a legend of the game, but it feels there's not actually anything left for Michael, really, is there?
MVP.
The league MVP, you mean? Well, yeah, okay, sure.
That's what it should be.
Yeah.
It's currently the Maurice Podoloff trophy.
Yeah.
People will say it should be the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar trophy since he has the most MVPs, but I do think it will be Michael Jordan, and it should be. Let me go J.J. Redick mode here.
Okay.
Bob Cousy should not have gotten this Eastern Conference trophy. We've got a Bill Russell trophy, a Bob Cousy trophy, and a Larry Bird trophy. There are other teams in the Eastern Conference besides the Boston Celtics. Dr. J trophy? Willis Reed Trophy, Walt Frazier, Isaiah Thomas, Sixers, Pistons, Knicks. Like, there are very famous and historic teams that also play in the Eastern Conference. I feel like Bob Cousy got this one because J.J. Redick has been dunking on him for a year straight.
Yeah, maybe.
Hey, it's a bone throw.
Look, the truth is, the Eastern Conference Trophy, that should be called LeBron's Trophy.
It shouldn't be Bob Cousy. That's all I know.
How many times did he go straight? Was it 10?
Eight?
Nine? Whatever the hell it was. Mm.
You can't shoot 40% and have a trophy named after you. That's a rule. Sorry to go. Yeah, J.J. Redick. Also, J.J. Redick, 11-time champ. You said 8 for Bill Russell. You can't say that.
Bill won 11.
Yeah.
He was 8 in a row. Yeah, it was 8 in a row.
The
sorry.
Rings.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But I don't think he won finals MVP. Somebody can.
Maybe.
Maybe they didn't even have
it. They didn't have it yet.
Yeah.
Right?
There you go.
Listen, I think they're trying to. Yeah, I guess the trophies, whatever. They're trying to make it a little more prestigious. Bone throws to everybody. But also, they're taking a little from every sport. Baseball has their league championship series MVP.
Do they give them a trophy? Or do they just announce it? I can't remember. I don't know.
That's strange. Pat Borders. I mean, he was the World Series MVP.
Who won it for them that year?
What about that guy? What did he win? Joey Carter. Did he win it when they won it?
No, I think that was Paul Molitor.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So
I don't remember them ever. I can't picture them holding one in baseball for each division.
Yeah, they may not have one.
Yeah, I think they're
That's
just
interesting.
Announcing. Anyway.
They don't have division series.
They have golden gloves and best hitter and stuff.
Yeah, Silver slugger.
Do we like sports or do we know sports? There's a difference.
Yeah. Okay, so Trey's a little upset, and I think rightfully so that this is very Beantown boy heavy.
There's too much beans. Too much beans here. Actually, I think it should be Willis Reed. I think he should get the Eastern Conference trophy.
Wow.
The Knicks are an historic team, despite being the worst team in the league for NBA history. But they should get a little bit of love here. And Willis Reed won the second finals MVP of all time. So the guy's got some history.
So that's when they started it. Okay.
I think at least, okay, I will say this. It feels like I'm with you that Jordan is likely going to get maybe the MVP. I mean, there's really not a lot left. And that they could have, like, they could have gave, I know they wanted to probably link and keep Magic and Larry, you know, yeah, sort of like resurrecting, of course, the league in the 80s. But, like, didn't MJ have a better record in Eastern Conference Finals than even Larry did?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. But I will say, like, I almost, it would almost feel gross if it was, that was the level for MJ.
Exactly.
So I'm almost happy
I agree.
Not.
He should either be Finals MVP trophy or MVP trophy.
Yeah.
And Finals MVP, fair enough that it goes to Bill Russell. And let's rename the Slam Dunk Championship trophy after Dr. J. He deserves a trophy.
Ooh, that's not a bad one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a really good one.
That's an interesting factoid. Finals MVP, you said 69 started, so Jerry West got it as the first one as a loser.
Loser, yeah.
That's a factoid.
Hence why. It was a trick question with Bill Russell there. he probably would have won a couple, I'm assuming. And then one more thought about all of this, because I think Tom Ziller was just recently writing about it in his newsletter. This idea of, like, should we have, like, postseason teams? Like, we have all NBA teams. Should we have all playoff teams? You know, maybe a first and second team at the end of it all?
A real FIBA tournament type thing.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah. Like, you don't need to give them awards or anything. It doesn't need to, you know, count for more money for anybody, but...
Then why do it?
Just stand.
Ah, content, baby, content. That's why.
So they can stand at midcourt together?
Oh, for not a quick even that. Photo. I just think, hey, look, Jimmy Butler is getting some recognition here. Even if they lose in the conference finals, lose in the finals, he's like, wow, this guy was, what an unbelievable postseason. Just, I think, maybe what it does, and maybe it allows us, when you look back at postseasons, to more quickly figure out, wow, who was pretty elite in that postseason run.
I would accept an all-tournament team.
Okay.
Yeah, like they do for the NCAAs. But at the end, yeah, like a first team, that's all you need.
Okay, one. Okay, yeah. Okay. Fine with that. Let's hear from everybody. You like this idea from Ziller? You want two teams? You want one like Trey? You want three? You want 10 like Sicko Me? You know, where's Furkan Korkmaz going on the...
I don't know if he's making the top 10
teams.
Wow,
probably not. Wow. Probably not.
Imagine there was two teams and one was just the team that win the championship and the second was the team that just finished runner-up.
That is that's a good point. Okay, a little bit of news here. Remember I said the other day, well, we finally found out Jokic won MVP, so that's it for the awards. Not really.
Interesting.
Grizzlies GM Zach Kleiman has won the NBA Executive of the Year award. They have a trophy for this?
Must be.
You ever seen it?
Nah, probably, but...
This is a weird award where it's like we don't... Like, we always address it. There's a press release, but we don't... It's not lumped in, of course, to even, like, Coach of the Year.
No.
It's just a little odd to me. Yeah. But anyway, he got it. It's voted on by the other GMs, and Kleiman is the youngest to ever win the award. This guy's 33 years old, Lee, and he's already winning Executive of the Year as the Grizzlies GM. He got 16 of the 29 first-place votes. What were you doing when you were 33? What was your...
I was interning for free.
Oh, wow.
At the score.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, similar, you know. I was working on Drafted with our friend Paul Brothers.
Shout out to Paul Brothers. So, what was your greatest accolade at the age of 33, would you say, then?
What, in life?
Or your workplace, I guess. What was the best thing you did at the score when you were there, 33 years old? Meeting Paul Brothers?
Probably, yeah. Putting...
Give me a decade of content.
So we hadn't met you yet.
No, not yet, I don't think. Because when did you guys start? 2010, wasn't it, at the score?
Yep.
I think I did know about the Basketball Jones, though. I'd seen it. Mm-hmm. I was like, where are these guys? What are they up to?
Yeah, we talked about it. Don't you remember? Yeah. I was there in 2009. You came up to my desk.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I was sitting beside Scott Hirks.
Actually, I know.
Landon Landry, of course.
Oh, yeah. Whoa, these are great names. Keep going. You got any good names?
Big Ron? What about Big Ron? He was right around the corner.
Ron Papa.
Oh, man. I love Big Ron. What did
Jonathan,
he do?
Jonathan Savage is sitting in that glass desk. Yeah, he was IT.
IT, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he ever did anything.
I remember Lee coming up to my desk in 2009. I mean, he was asking. You're asking, just, you know, gaining knowledge. Like, what do you guys do? You guys do a podcast? Something like that?
Yeah, I know. What is a podcast?
How do I get that on my iPod?
It's on iTunes.
All right, what's iTunes? Let's one step at a time. Yeah.
But were you any on-camera work at that point? No. You said you're cutting tape, or what are you doing?
Yeah, like, so we did the auditions for Drafted, I remember, and you're just like, this is...
Explain Drafted for someone who doesn't know.
So it was basically a reality show to become a sports broadcaster for The Score.
Yeah,
and
great idea.
So people just applied, sent in tapes, and then in Toronto, there was like a turn up and try out. And the craziest guy who tried out, you'll never guess who it was.
You?
No. It was the Raptor.
What?
The Raptor tried out.
In costume?
He doesn't talk.
Not in costume.
Oh.
But
the guy that...
Yeah. Because he turned up.
I've never heard this story.
No, well, he turned up and he started reading it and he sort of had this sort of confidence and swagger about him. And, you know, but no
one... searching for a tail.
Well, you can't, you know, obviously you didn't recognize him, but it's like, this guy feels like he sort of knows the business somewhat.
Firing a t-shirt gun at him.
And then he just said, yeah, I'm the Raptor. And I'm just like, wow.
Did he do a backflip?
Was he good?
He was fine.
Well, there's a reason he was in the mascot suit.
Like,
maybe.
I'm not sure if he was just like, I'm turning up to not really try, but just to try. But then it was also like, why would you be here if you're not really trying? You know what I mean? Like,
wow.
So yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you're saying it was almost like a content play for him in a weird way.
Possibly, but it certainly wasn't promoted. Hey, here's the Raptor without his mask on. So Ryan, his name is, I think.
Didn't he was Ryan a Raptor. Long time Raptor mascot. He's,
still
is he still?
Yeah,
he got injured.
He missed that one season with the Achilles. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was crazy.
Drafted. So who won the first Drafted?
Paul Brothers.
Oh, Paul Brothers.
And he won.
Jackie Redmond won the second or third?
After Paul. I don't think.
Oh, there was who was the other? There was a taller guy, sort of Will Ferrell vibes.
Oh, Brent Furtney.
Brent, great. Paul.
Yeah, happy to play. What about this guy?
Yeah.
Feels like we're at All-Star Weekend all over again.
Yeah.
Sitting around a table naming old colleagues.
Okay. Anyway, congratulations to Zach Kleiman.
What was Zach Kleiman's big move?
This is the thing. I don't really.
Drafting Ja Morant 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Getting good.
Jenkins, getting him.
Not this season as well.
I know.
Arturas Karnishevas was snubbed is what I'm trying to tell
you. He got second. Tied with Kobe Altman.
Won. His moves happened for this season. DeRozan, Caruso, Lonzo.
Yeah.
Kleiman's getting the benefit of picking good players a few years ago.
Yeah, it is weird, eh?
Was this Billy? That's a lagging award for sure.
No, this wasn't Billy's first season, though. His second. Karnishevas signed him.
Second season, yep.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Karnishevas should have won. Yes,
you're saying there's a snub in the executive.
Do not put that word in my mouth. I don't want to say that there was a snub happening in the Executive of the Year award here, but if it looks like a snub and it smells like a snub,
I hadn't heard Zach Kleiman's name ever until this day. I thought we were doing a segment on Rich Kleiman. What happened with Kevin Durant? Something happened with KD?
Yeah, it's a good point. You know, some of these GMs,
it's
crazy? Some of these GMs you talk about nonstop, and it feels like you see nonstop in the news, and you're always seeing a photo or video. And then some, you know, you don't even, like maybe in this case, you don't even know really who it is. They're just moving in the shadows.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the best ones. It turns out, at least for this season. All right, so let's move on. Tonight's NBA playoff games. It's Friday night. All right, and we're feeling all right. Something like that. Celtics Bucks, game 6 in Milwaukee. Can the Bucks wrap this one up? Can the Celtics force game 7 for another Sunday game 7 game? And then Grizzlies Warriors is the second game tonight. Warriors, after that very embarrassing loss in game 5. Their trick was whooped. Can they bounce back? I mean, I'm interested to see. Can the Grizzlies give us a game 7 at home? That's the crazy part in that one, of course. But Trey, just you know, we usually ask this type of question with these. What's like one thing you're really watching for in either of these games tonight?
I'm watching for everything in Bucks Celtics. Like, are we getting another Kingly Giannis performance? That would be cool. Are we getting a 50-point game from Jason Tatum? That would be awesome. You know, games 1 and 2 of this series were not close, but since then, 3 points have separated these teams in 3 games. Very cool. It could mean a blowout is on the way, but I like to think that it means another classic is on the way because this series has totally lived up to the hype. Easily the best series of the playoffs so far. As for Warriors-Grizz, 2 things to watch for. Number one, do the Warriors care? You would have to think yes after they did not in Game 5. A real disappointing performance from a supposed championship contender.
Yep.
Number two, though, I think Draymond really needs to be more aggressive on offense. In 5 games so far, 10 shots that he's made, 17 attempts, 20 turnovers, and the Grizzlies don't guard him at all. Mm. Even dating back to the play-in tournament last year, like the very last play, he had a wide open catch at the free throw line. They're like, what are you going to do with it? He took it to the hole. off the glass, didn't even hit the rim. That has continued, and that's a big part of the reason why the Grizzlies are able to keep Steven Adams on the court, because there's nobody to stretch him out, nobody to play him off the court, which then trickles down to the Grizz being able to pound the glass on the offensive side and just be a really solid defensive team. So Draymond needs to be a plus offensively for the Warriors to be able to continue playing their small lineups. He has not been so far in this series, and that's hurting the Warriors.
What do you got circled here, Tass, for either of these games?
Well, that just makes me think the Kevon Looney, Draymond Green lineups that they tried last time in Game 5, there's no spacing, so they got to ditch that. And do they ditch Jonathan Kuminga as a starter every single game here? Three games in a row, they start off poorly with him starting. There's a reason for that. It's not their best lineup. So do they go for it and put Otto Porter into the starting lineup?
Is he confirmed to be playing?
Yeah, I'm not
certain.
He's
got that sore right foot. He's questionable last I saw. That was about 12 hours ago, I guess.
So what happens there with their starting lineup? Do they change it? Because it's obviously not their best starting lineup. Even when they win, they're getting beat. So those are the questions there. Looking forward to just that whole game. And how did the Celtics just bounce back? Simply put, easy as that. I mean, that was a rough ending to that game. They seem like they're mentally strong enough, but now they are playing, obviously, a ridiculously mentally strong team in the champs. So do they have the upper hand? Do the Bucks come into this game and know that they can put the Celtics team away? And the Celtics, they imploded at the end of that game. There's no gentle way to say it. There was a tiny bit of finger pointing after the game when they asked Marcus Smart about what happened on that play where he went to the rim. He said, well, the play was for JT. Everybody's just standing around, so I came to the ball. And that's why I went to the hole. And, I got stopped by Pat, and I got stopped by Drew more emphatically. I say it's a tiny bit of finger pointing because I don't think that locker room is fractured. I do think they come out strong, and I imagine we have a good game six.
Ah, man, I hope so. What are you watching
for? I hope we see a monster Giannis performance. I think so. That would be great to see.
He just had one.
Oh, he has one every night. This is a fascinating series because I still don't really know who's going to come out on top. Even if it goes seven, the Bucks could still win that.
Of course.
And that's what we want in the playoffs, where it's just like, wow, what is going to happen? Not these blowouts where you have 30 points, you win by one night and then lose by 30 the next. We want to see these arm wrestles. This one will go down to the wire. As for Memphis and Golden State, the Warriors should win tonight. But I'm not also like thinking they're just going to walk in there and blow them out. I think the Grizzlies have played really tough in Golden State. They nearly pulled off the victory there in Game 4. Don't think Steve Kerr will be back. I don't know if that's a huge thing or not for the Warriors. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But they have the talent and the personnel to do it. But I think the Grizzlies are not going to lie down either. So
no.
I think you're going to see two, hopefully, really, really tight games tonight.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm going to be up at the cottage watching with my buddy Grish. So what I'll be watching for is when will my buddy Grish say this game is over? I'm going to text you guys the first time he utters it. Okay? Not the first game. I'm not concerned he'll be doing it in Celtics. Box, especially after the big comeback, 14 down and forth. But when will Grish call it in that Grizzlies Warriors game? You know, if the Warriors go
double
on
digits,
maybe a classic third quarter Warriors run, you know, a little 10-0 run. That's what I'll be watching for. I'll make sure to keep you guys up to date. Okay, I'll tweet it out for everybody.
What type of TV/internet coverage do they have in rural northern Georgia?
Yeah, it's pretty strong. Okay. He's done some great upgrades in that department. So outside of like a terrible storm rolling through in the mountains, feeling pretty confident we'll be watching on the big screen up there.
Good to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Good to hear because you might be heading up on Saturday.
I hope so.
A little Maple Leafs game 7.
Game 7, baby. Wow. Game 7 in Toronto, Saturday night. Huh. Does it get bigger than that?
Dun, 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 dun.
Feels good. Back to our Canadian roots for a moment. Yeah.
But it must be tough for Grish to call a hockey game over because, like, one goal and he'd be like,
first pass.
Yeah. So is he a hockey head too?
No, not really. He's a Red Wings fan.
Right.
That's just because Detroit roots.
Quickest music ever.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good. We know our limits. Okay. We play within it.
Let's take our final break, but we are far from done. My goodness. Five-star Friday reviews, tweet of the night, and rapid fire. And you still have time to drop a regretful fart.
Yeah, I haven't heard or smelled anything so far.
So get at it, and we'll be right back.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey guys, whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. No sound effects, I don't have them loaded up and I got too much going on over here. Good news guys, I finally got the notification from Shopify that the pickleball paddle I've had my eye on is back in stock.
Yes.
I have not purchased it yet. Oh. Why? Because I stink at pickleball! Got my ass handed to me yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, oh my God, so bad. Anyway, Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling scented soap or peddling pickleball paddles, how's that for alliteration?
Nice one.
Thank you. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify's the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen's, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. By the way, did you know Shopify's Canadian?
No,
I did not know that.
I did not know that.
Headquarters in Ottawa.
Wow.
Homer. Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/nodunks.
Okay, back in the Classic Factory. Let's get to some five-star Friday fun. Five-star Friday got pushed back a week, but what do you got, Trey?
Yeah, Friday the 13th. Didn't think about that. Mm. Could be bad luck to be doing it today. Or could be good luck. Anyways, Five Star Friday, we read five of the best five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts because they help us in the rankings, we think. Still a little unsure what's going on, but we love to see these delicious five-star reviews. This one comes from Mason the Baker, the best basketball show around. These guys bring it each and every day. These dudes are some of the smartest and entertaining basketball minds on the internet. Not only will you learn a lot about the NBA, but you will also be entertained. After a few episodes, you will catch yourself making references to the inside jokes in your everyday life. Best, Sean M. Thank you, Sean.
That's just a really sincere, nice review.
That's exactly right, Skeets. The number one slot is usually going to the most sincere and straightforward review, and great. It's going to get dumber okay. as we go on. Number two comes from Ryan Kelton. Great ball cast. Shout out to Saks Underwear and the Ballpark Pouch.
Yeah.
Survivor cast, great. F1 cast, even better. But where's the baseball? Come on, no homers. Mm. It's from Ryan in Louisville, Kentucky. The Louisville slugger himself, Ryan, wants some baseball talk. So during the break, I went over to MLB.com.
Yeah.
There's never been a baseball picture like it, Skeets. You've probably seen the photo. Five of 1997's top shortstops. Shirtless on a rooftop.
An incredible
photo. Did not expect that.
So who
on
is
MLB.com.
It? Jeter... Rodriguez.
Jeter, A-Rod, Alex Gonzalez, Edgar Renteria, and I think they said that this is Ray Ordonez as well.
Ooh. Wow. Okay. Classics.
It's got Sacramento Kings vibes,
yes.
right?
Yes, very much like Peja Stojakovic.
Yep.
Jeans and no top on.
Yeah.
So if MLB keeps posting more pictures like this, you will get more MLB content in your no dunks.
It's not no homers either. It's no bunts.
It's no bunts. Yeah. That's exactly right. But Tass is actually launching that in the summertime.
Yeah, for
touch
sure.
Touch them all, Joe.
Yeah, every day.
Touch them all, Tass.
We'll be bunting.
He's going to talk about every game.
Touch them all, Tass. It's a great name for a podcast. Baseball podcast.
There's not enough games to talk about with baseball.
Four days in a row, Kansas City versus the Blue Jays.
Let's see what Oil Can Boyd can do out there today. Our next review comes from Ruby.
Rubio Balls.
Oh, that's good.
Somehow It Works is the title. This podcast is sort of about basketball, fair. The guy with nice hair won't shut up about compost. The skinny one loves to talk ejaculate.
My name's Skeet.
When the Aussie occasionally freestyles, it's the most cringe thing you'll ever experience. Tall guy is funny, debatable. But his eyes look like piss holes in the snow. There's also a fifth guy. Somehow it all works. 5 of 5 stars, 6 of 5 stars in Iverson mode. That's what I like. These are my absolute favorite kind of reviews where people are saying nice things about us while also completely nagging us. Yeah. I love it. That's
I think perfect. That gets somebody that's searching for a basketball podcast, that would get your attention.
Definitely.
This guy's always talking about ejaculation. This guy's got piss hole eyes. Like, what the hell is this show? I gotta check it out. Then we got you.
Gotcha, sucker. And we got Osmosis Brent as well. Our next review is titled, What Does a Horse Think?
Oh, boy. Big one.
This one asks some really big questions, Skeets.
Okay.
Do you contemplate the mysteries of the universe? How many bananas a man dressed as a banana can eat? How important is breakfast? What are proper flag codes? What does a horse think when Nikola Jokic walks up? Like Doctor Strange, these mostly foreigners slap on their best American accents and explore the wonders of the NBA multiverse from what some people would call a garage, but I call a portal for the mind. The best NBA analysis is just a positive side effect of passing through this portal, but journey forward for the wonders and larfs. I know what a horse thinks about this podcast. 5 carats.
Wow.
Big time review from Osmosis Brent there.
That's good.
Yeah, it's a good one. That's a very good one.
Has anybody seen the new Doctor Strange movie yet, JD?
No.
I would love to.
No,
I would love to.
I haven't either. Okay.
I love portals, and I love I love this. I love this. Yeah, yeah. I love that move.
I've seen mixed reviews.
Uh-oh.
If I'm being honest. Yeah.
Guess it depends on which universe.
It's true.
You don't like it? Head on over to Earth 686. Is that an actual reference, JD?
I have no idea. Probably.
I feel like there's a 6 in the numbers. Anyways, our final review, it's a good one. From The Machinist, 123, An Airing of Grievances. 5 stars. Now, I've got to get something off my back. I've been listening since the beginning, and what I think was the very first pun gun, the name was Dante Green. Not a one of the guys said, how do you like your pasta? Come on! El Dante Green was right there. I've been thinking about this for like 10 years. Great podcast.
Oh, wow. Hold on. Dante Green. Was the first name in the pun gun?
Maybe. I wonder how it started then. Like, what are we talking about Dante Green
for? I don't know. He's been out of the league since 2012. He's really been thinking about it for 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, was that like... Because, like, the pun gun became official, and we were we were loading it with a name and then firing it. But, like, does he mean, was there an impromptu, like pun
gun?
Like
a soft launch, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But no. If we did, I believe this
the machinist.
The machinist himself. but, yeah, that's a good one. It's a good pun to have fired on there.
I get what the machinist is saying by having one in the holster and just thinking about it over and over and over again. I know for a fact that we would have pun guns and we would sit there, you know, just thinking about what am I missing? What I need one. I need for the next 20 minutes. We're doing a show, but we're all just thinking about what pun we missed. And then we fire after the show. So for you to be holding that for 10 years, I mean, that's got to feel good. That has got to feel just the release.
You know, look, getting close to wrapping up the second round series. Not going to be a ton of basketball. I'll chuck it out there. You're in charge of making the doc. Maybe pun gun next Friday on the drop.
Okay.
Yeah?
Sure. You know what? I'll go back to where it all began.
Dante
Green.
Oh, wow. I actually like that.
Okay.
We have a week to
start thinking about it.
All right.
All right. Great reviews. Thank you so much to all of our, I guess those are all Apple Podcast reviews. Yep. Still not sure what you can do on Spotify. I think maybe you can say, hey, good show, 5 stars, you can't say anything.
It's just the stars at this point. Yeah. Not even carrots available.
Yeah. Anyway, we appreciate all of them. Thank you. Okay. Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the night. Wow.
Tassie, what do you got?
Well, I'll make it a quickie because I know we like to go long. We still got rapid, non-rapid fire to come up. Yeah. So the first one is a photo from ZV Bear. But don't worry, audio listener. I shall explain it.
Oh my God.
A Jumpman logo. It's on a shoe, on the tongue of a shoe. The MJ Jumpman logo. You know the MJ Jumpman logo.
Yep.
Legs spread. Here comes MJ dunking the ball. To be specific, it's always from the front. You're always seeing the front of MJ. So ZV Bear got a shoe with the Jumpman logo from the rear.
Right.
We're seeing a butt.
Straight ass crack.
Yeah, we're seeing a back of a man.
Oh wow. Nice enhanced.
And hands.
Yeah.
And the butt of a man dunking. ZV Bear tweeted, "What the bleep? Nah, I'm suing StockX."
Oh, wow. He got this.
So I got this from StockX, which I don't shop on StockX, but I assume it's usually reliable. They go through the process of checking all the boxes. That's what I've heard about StockX. Anyway,
there's one person's job at StockX to check whether or not there's an ass crack on the Jumpman logo.
They missed this one. I mean, they opened the box, they saw the shoe was intact, and they didn't see the logo. But I'm glad that happened because it produced the greatest retweet from Bailey E. Creates that said, "Man got Air Lowry's."
Yeah.
Because as we know, Kyle Lowry packs some junk back there. The greatest raptor of all time, but also the greatest rump of all time. So Kyle Lowry, the man got Air Lowry's. Thanks, Bailey.
This is bootleg? Wow.
but it got past the
StockX inspection. Yeah, I guess so.
Bailey Y creates, not Bailey E creates.
Okay.
FYI.
Good stuff.
FYI.
Yeah, funny photo.
Nice kicks. Very good.
And I think you explained the picture quite well, too.
Yeah, for all our it's Lowry's stuff. Butt. You think it's Kyle Lowry?
I would like to see Kyle Lowry do the Jumpman, just so we can compare.
Okay, let's wrap up this Drop podcast with some rapid fire fun. Trey, you got the questions. Tass, JD, and myself will be answering. Here we go.
That's right. Devin Booker has a new custom rice bowl for sale at Sweet Green. His key ingredient? Spicy broccoli. Sounds delicious. Mm. Fellers, what restaurant would sell your signature food, and what is it, Tass?
Cava. If you know Cava, it's got salad and grains, those type of bowls,
yep.
You know? Okay, so it's Mediterranean culinary brand with a flavorful and healthy, fast, casual.
Hey.
That's what it's called. But, or that's their slogan there. But all the bowls have lettuce or grains. I'm coming in there with the no lettuce salad.
Oh, yeah, you're...
Any lettuce in this salad? No way! No way! Right. There may be a mix-up like that Kyle Lowry shoe occasionally where lettuce gets in, but you gotta throw that out. Just, it's a simple choriatiki salad. That's the way we call it from my homeland in Greece. Tomatoes, cucumbers, onions, feta, olives, no lettuce, no romaine. If there's a piece of romaine, throw the thing out.
Throw the whole salad out.
Yes, of course. Romaine can't touch that thing. That's my favorite salad. And if it's perfect in with Cava right now because they need something that doesn't have grains, that doesn't have lettuce. And I love that place. It's very good.
Okay.
Not an ad.
JD, what do you got?
Yeah, I invented a burger, and Lee, this one's for you.
Oh, great.
Because I call it the non-burger, okay? It is an impossible meat patty, right? Mm-hmm. So meatless
so
patty.
So good, yeah.
Really, really good, I have to say.
Yeah.
I've had a couple of them, and it's amazing. But I put it on non-bread,
okay.
Right? So it's the non-burger, but spelled N-A-A-N,
ooh.
Right? So you crisp up those non-breads. You got the impossible patty, you know, some pickles, some Vidalia onions, and you dress you like. And that's my burger.
You've had this, or you just come up with
it? I invented
this?
It. Yeah,
well, you've eaten it.
I've made
it. Okay,
I've eaten
okay.
it. Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
I say yum to your naan.
Yeah, right. I mean, somebody must have. It's not, you know, speaking of puns, I mean... It's out there somewhere. Somewhere there's a non-burger that's a veggie
that's a
burger.
Great name.
Hold on, you think,
God,
you think
awesome.
Every pun we've ever fired has been out there in the world?
I think it's in the ether, okay. Yes. We're not that original. Well, maybe we are. But and the restaurant, I don't know, just my local pub down here at the Wheelhouse. Why not? That's
okay.
Where I would love to enjoy my non-burger. So that's my answer.
That's great.
That sounds delicious.
It is.
Not gonna lie.
It
Skeets,
is.
What you got?
Well, it's something I've said before on the show. It's the Skeets Stoner snack.
Oh yeah.
Which is really weird. It's a graham cracker, brie, and a ketchup chip. Try it. Stone, especially. But I don't know where to put it, so I thought maybe you guys could help me. I guess Taco Bell just feels like a place that would put that on the menu.
Sell that for sure.
It's like, yeah, give me a skeet stoner snack for me to say.
Is it more of a dessert or more of an appetizer? I can't tell. It doesn't feel like a main course.
You're right. It's got the vibe of a dessert, probably because of the graham cracker, and maybe. But I think to me it's an appetizer.
Okay.
Because you got the cheese and the chip.
Yeah.
Two of the three ingredients.
Take control.
So
it's like a midnight snack at a wedding. You know what I mean? Like,
that's really what it
like,
is.
Like, you know, when Tassie had little things of poutine at his wedding when it really come around at midnight. It just hit the spot, but these things would hit the spot at midnight, I think.
Graham cracker, brie, and ketchup chip. Sounds insane. I understand that. Give it a go. At Taco Bell.
Give it a go. I feel like they would insist on using a hard shell tortilla at some point.
Yeah. I'll talk to them. We'll modify it maybe.
Now I'm thinking about all of our previous food punts as we've done the pun gun. Any come to mind?
Food puns.
The food puns within the pun gun.
Oh, I mean, Grey Biscuits Dad Quest, of course.
Yeah, that's been done. Grey Biscuits have been done. For an old, you know, a Father's Day, a Grey Biscuits.
Yeah, I can't think of any other ones off the top of my head.
No.
I mean, we missed Al Dente Green, it's impossible to remember at this point. Next rapid-fire question. NBA meme lord Josiah Johnson asked a great question on Twitter yesterday. So I'm stealing it for a rapid fire question here. If you could name a strain of weed after an NBA player or team, what would you call it, Tassie?
Kawhi, do I feel like this? It's a real psychedelic strain. We're out there with this Kawhi. I think Kawhi could get behind it.
Okay.
Makes you very quiet, I assume, as well. Don't want to talk at all. Been there for sure. JD, what you got?
Yeah, I'm not very familiar with streams of weed or weed in general, but now I've been suffering from a little bit of like neck pain, headaches, and stuff like that. So I've turned my attention towards the weed, but you can't get it here because there's a stupid state we live in. But legally, you can get it, but not legally. But anyway, my last year, this time last year. I was in the building and I saw Giannis Antetokounmpo went down, hyperextended his knee, right?
Yeah. Wow.
Brutal. 2 games later, it's next game or 2 games later, whatever it was.
Yep.
He was back like it never happened. So my strain is called the Antetokounmpo Express. It just heals you, man. It's just like you deal with your pain and then you're like ready to go. You're good to go. And it's inspiring. That's why. The Antetokounmpo Express.
That's nice. Good.
Nice.
That's
storytelling.
Thank you.
Skeets, what you got?
Well, I saw people replying with some great answers. Some of them that are just so obvious that you don't need to reinvent the wheel. Steve Hash.
Oh.
Reefer Alston. Herb Jones. I love all three of those. They're just simple. Like, go with it. But then I realized, looking at WNBA team names, some of them work really well, I think, for a strain of weed. LA Sparks. Even Chicago Sky sounds like a good weed strain. Indiana Fever. And maybe my favorite, Atlanta Dream.
Yeah.
Those are good.
That is good.
Those work well.
That is good.
So I'll go with any of those. Maybe the Mystics even. Washington Mystics.
That's really good. That's actually really good. The Cleveland Rockers. Knock down your socks.
They're gone.
Right? Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yes.
Sorry to the Rockers. All right, final rapid-fire question. According to a recent ESPN report, Brazilian football defender Marcelo was dropped from the Lion first team earlier this year due to, quote, continuous farting and laughing in the dressing room. That stinks. Here's the question we've all been waiting for.
Yeah, there it is. There it is.
Tass, what's a fart you regret?
As I said, the most recent fart does cut the deepest. Recently, put my kids in the car, into their little car seats. My wife was driving them to school. So I'm buckling him in and let a ripper go. That was disgustingly nasty. And it was a silent but violent one. As I'm buckling and I'm saying goodbye, giving him the old I love you, see you later, Danielle got very mad that I implanted a fart into the car as they drove off. She got extremely angry. Like, you couldn't wait 5 seconds to say goodbye. Because it was one of those... Do you have to let it linger? It wasn't going away. So yeah, she was mad, and she still reminds me of it weeks later.
Sending the kids and your wife off to school and drops them.
You know, my travel mug.
My daughter and I, my 4-year-old daughter and I, we've got a bit where we fart with each other. Aww, it's so
very
cute.
Cute.
Super cute.
Yeah.
So it was for her.
It was for her, yeah.
Yeah, it was totally for her. But I mean, the
parting gift.
Yeah, the funny ones are the loud ones. That one was not funny.
JD, that's going to be a tough question for you.
Yeah. Well, it is a tough question. And the truth is, the fart that I most regret is your fart, Trey Kirby. It was the one that happened in the office. It lasted what felt like a full minute, unbroken, traveled over several octaves, as though a horn player was warming up. And the regret is that none of us were rolling on any of our devices.
Yeah, you're right.
But on the other hand, do I regret it? Because it's a shared experience that just the six of us, actually, because Mario was there.
Yeah.
It's just something that we'll always share for the rest of our lives. It was beautiful. And it was amazing.
It was truly amazing. Because it was so long that he starts it. Everybody like reacts like, wow, that's a long fart, and goes back to work, and it still continues. Yeah. And then there's like almost like everybody's like, what is going on?
We all had a chance to lock eyes with each other.
Yeah, we all looked at each other, and you just kept farting.
That was beautiful. That was majestic.
It was.
You talk about most regrettable. That's my most envious fart. I mean, sort of.
Is touching. This is great to hear.
It was amazing. That fart came out for an encore.
Did you know
that fart, based on my recollection of it, Usain Bolt finished the 100 meters before you finished that fart?
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you that.
Totally. It was
we got raise a jersey for this part.
You're right, JD. Like, on one hand, it's great we don't have it on camera or somebody, you know, on their phone, but like, it would have been great to have it because then we could have like spliced the two together. Trey starts his fart, Bolt goes, wins the medal.
Yeah.
He's on the podium. He's back in Jamaica celebrating. He's still fighting. He goes back to the Olympics 4 years later. It's continuing.
Thank you.
I mean, I really can't top that, but I guess I will say my most regretful fart. It was Summer League. We were in a van. It was not me.
I thought that was a joke.
So did I. I thought he might go with that. I think recently, like Tass was saying, it's always the latest fart. I just, anytime, like, one of my favorite things about having a dog is I love Luna. I honestly love a dog just lying at my feet while I'm working. It just, like, brings great joy to me. Dog just wants to be close to you. But the other night, Nora was still home, and it was this thing where I wasn't sure. I don't like a fart where I'm not sure if I farted.
Hmm.
What?
Yeah, like, there's a stink, and I'm like, was that Luna? Was that me? Was it a mixture of both? And I felt, I regretted it because I was like, I told Nora, I was like, I'm not sure who farted. Like, I don't know.
But you've always got that easy out. That was Luna for sure,
I know, but I think it was me. It's the crazy part. And I was like, that's not good.
Yeah, but you can always just say, no, Luna.
I mean, that definitely happens. Blame it on the dog, for sure. But I think, honestly, what happened, it was a mixture. It was because it was a super powers. Fart. So. A man's got to have a dog. For fart reasons.
Recency bias, according to Amelia Earhart.
Do you have one here just to close out the show? This is a great question.
The funny thing is, going back to when I started at the school with Paul Brothers and Tass was working up at this other desk, and Paul and I went up one day And before Paul and I knew it, we'd like stepped into something. It was like this cloud of something. We were like looking at each other like, I was like, fucking Jesus, Paul. He was looking at me going, Jesus, Lee. And then Tass sort of popped his head up and quickly left the scene. Wow. That's a true story. I know Paul sometimes listens to the show. I wonder if he is listening, if he remembers that time, because we were both just like, that's a serious fart right there.
Wow. I was probably running from it.
Yeah, you were, for sure, because you weren't expecting us up. I think everyone else had cleared out, and we were using Scott's desk. And then Paul and I just didn't know how to feel about each other. I'm like, that's a bit unprofessional.
Right. We are in a workplace setting.
And then they're like, hey, where's he going? Like, so now it's like, it all makes sense.
Can't spell drafted without farting.
That's
just a fact.
You remind me of that fart in the Miami hotel during the No Seasons Required.
One in, one out.
Planted in the elevator.
We could do an entire podcast on farts. What the hell is wrong with us?
Wow, that's right. I mean I guess there's one I'd flown from Beirut.
Kill the music, JD. We're going to be here in
Beirut to Amman in Jordan, this Middle Eastern airline. And I got up, and you know when people are getting off the plane and you sort of know, okay, now's my time to go. And the alley was free there. And so I thought, okay, now I'm free to be able to walk this one off. And then someone came in and got stuck with their bag and they're pulling it. And it was too late. It was out. And I stood out a little bit on that flight. And I was with someone else on the plane and I got the old...
Tap on the shoulder.
Somebody tapped around. You on the shoulder and said...
Yeah. The person I was with. I just pretended I didn't feel it. And I just tried to make my way out of there. But it was too late. I was out there. So, you know.
Oh, you're free to fart about the cabin when you're leaving.
Well, maybe not when the plane is landed.
Well, that's because But everyone else is up, ready to go out, and then all of a sudden they all just copped and I couldn't run off and just leave.
He pulls the emergency exit. He's down the chute, just farting down the chute. Okay, guys, let's call it there. Rapid Fire, a.k.a. Rapid Fart today. Email your NBA questions into nodunks@theathletic.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, @NoDunksInc. Get yourself an athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/NoDunks. Get yourself some No Dunks merch. Go to NoDunks.com for your T-shirts and your hoodies and your mugs and your shorts and all that good stuff. And we'll be back on Monday. It is Friday. I don't think we'll have a weekend shift. You know what? Hold on. Sunday. Who knows what happens Sunday? We're not going to have a weekend shift tomorrow unless I take all my my equipment to the cottage. You want me to get my buddy Grish live from the summit? Okay. Yeah, maybe. Why not?
Get him after the first quarter of a game and he can recap the entire game.
Immediate reaction with my buddy Grish after the first quarter of Celtics Bucks. Yeah, but we'll be back for sure on Monday, so we will see you then. Have a great weekend. Enjoy these games tonight, and hopefully we get some more Game 7s there on Sunday. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Yeah, we've got no dunks. We've got no buffs. We've got no breaks. But we will never have no farts. Ever. Won't happen.
Embrace the weekend, people.